The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece that I trust you'll enjoy.
This is, without question, one of the most consequential decisions the president has made, was the outstanding appointment of Brett Kavanaugh to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. The nomination, for those who haven't been watching media, the nomination is now said to be in trouble. I'm not sure how much trouble it's in, but there's certainly a great deal of controversy about this, and media are licking their chops collectively. Why? Because what they see is the potential of a high-profile confrontation between two charismatic figures on different sides of an issue that may have occurred sometime in the early 80s. But the lady recalling that incident, whose name is Christine Blasey Ford, she doesn't recall exactly when it happened or even the right year it happened. No, really, she isn't not been specific. She doesn't recall where it happened, at whose home, or where that home was. But it happened, she says. Judge Kavanaugh has said emphatically this did not happen, that nothing like this occurred. And that, of course, sets up a dramatic confrontation, and the same way that the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas Hill hearings were a bonanza for TV ratings and the whole country was riveted, I thought it was a sad and tawdry spectacle because there was no reason in the world to believe Anita Hill, or more to the point, to believe that even if what she said were true, that it meant that Clarence Thomas was either a bad human being or someone who was not suited for the Supreme Court of the United States. And to me, the same thing operates here. And I will say this at the very outset, and I want to give you some taste, some flavor of all of the different responses that people have made to this controversy. But if they do have hearings where they won't be sitting in the hearing room together, they would probably have a Dr. Ford come first and to give her account, and then they would have a response from Judge Kavanaugh. And then they would probably have an opportunity for questions for both sides. Here's the one question that I would ask Dr. Ford, which is, do you believe personally that the incident that you describe from sometime in the early 80s, perhaps when you were as young as 15, do you believe that this incident disqualifies the Honorable Brett Kavanaugh from serving as a federal judge? If you believe that this incident from his junior year of high school serves to disqualify him to ever serving as a federal judge, then two follow-up questions. Number one, why? What is it about getting drunk and acting like a complete jerk and a disgusting jerk, if this were true? What is it about that that means that 30 years later, you cannot serve as a federal court judge after a lifetime of distinguished service with no other ethical or behavioral problems measured? And the second question I would put to Christine Blasey Ford would be, okay, if you believe that the incident that you recall disqualifies him from being a federal judge, why didn't you speak about it or come forward with recollections of that incident before he was confirmed almost unanimously to serve as an appellate court judge 12 years ago in the most prestigious and influential appellate court in the country. Why is it only now, on the verge of his confirmation to be a an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, there is at the moment a particularly intense desire by a lot of Democrats to postpone the hearings. One of the members of the House, who really doesn't have anything to say about this, except, again, she's a member of Congress and trying to play a leadership role and, of course, trying to get a little bit of publicity. Pramila Jayapal, who I know, who is represents downtown Seattle, a district that is about 90%, and honestly, it is about 90% Democratic. Pramila Jayapal had this to say about going forward with the Kavanaugh hearings. Listen.
The Senate Judiciary Committee goes forward with this vote this Thursday. It would be an insult and an injury to every woman in this country. It would be like sticking a finger in your eye, in the eye of every woman, because we all know, regardless of what political party we're part of, we all know that sexual harassment, sexual assault is real. That is what the Me Too movement has been about. And at this point, the Senate Judiciary Committee should stop these hearings. They should get somebody who is an independent investigator to come in and actually investigate this so that it's not, you know, it's not about political partisanship. And we should make sure that Christine Ford is given the respect of having a real investigation into this. This is the highest court in the land. There is absolutely no reason to move forward with Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings and confirmation vote at this point. That would be a tremendous disservice. And I think, you know, as a mom, I'm thinking about a 15-year-old daughter that this happened to. We all should care about making sure that this confirmation does not go forward at this point without a full hearing.
Okay. Without a full hearing, it does look like there is strong sentiment on the part of even some of the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee that they will open this up again for a further hearing. And I think they're going to be forced to do that. But I do think it's an important moment for the country, the same way that with the Clarence Thomas hearings, which went on and on and on and on and on. And where, by the way, Clarence Thomas was confirmed as an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, and he served with great distinction. I think he's been a great member of the Supreme Court. And a true patriot in serving in that capacity. But the point about this is that even though the Democrats make it sound like Clarence Thomas was convicted, basically, in the court of public opinion of having behaved disgracefully with Anita Hill, he won confirmation. And he won confirmation by a vote of 52 to 48, which I think will be the same vote for Judge Kavanaugh. But Clarence Thomas won that confirmation at a time that the Democrats controlled the Senate. That was a Democratic Senate. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee at that time wasn't Chuck Grassley. It was Joe Biden. And by the way, interestingly enough, that was, well, that was shortly after the time that this incident is alleged to have happened involving the young junior in high school, Brett Kavanaugh. I do now have the actual letter that Dr. Ford submitted to her local congresswoman. And why would she submit it to her congresswoman, given the fact that the House of Representatives has nothing to do with confirming a Supreme Court justice? It's just the Senate. That's under the Constitution. There's also a report from Senator Orrin Hatch, who had been a longtime chair of the Judiciary Committee. He's retiring from the Senate. He won't be back in January, and we'll miss him. He's been a great U.S. senator. But Senator Hatch said that he spoke just now, moments ago, with Brett Kavanaugh. and that Brett Kavanaugh repeated to Orrin Hatch very directly that he didn't attend an early 1980s party at the center of a sexual assault allegation against him. Hatch told reporters that Kavanaugh denied having been at the party at all during a phone call the two men had just now. Hatch added that he believed that Kavanaugh's accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, is, quote, mixed up. The judge, who I know very well, said the senator is an honest man, and he said this didn't happen, Hatch said, adding that there is some question about if Ford was mixed up. Ford told the Washington Post that Kavanaugh, while intoxicated at a party in high school, pinned her down and forced himself on her. Kavanaugh has denied wrongdoing. Hatch was asked if there was a possibility that Kavanaugh was so drunk that he did not remember being at the party. The senator, who doesn't have any experience with drunkenness because he's been a devout member of The Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints all his life, the senator dismissed the question. He said that's not true. He said this did not happen, and he's naturally very upset about it, Hatch told reporters. I do hope that Judge Kavanaugh, as he has said most recently, has a chance to set the record straight, and as he put it, to defend his integrity, because that is what this comes down to at this point. The president spoke to reporters in the White House, and there there was one moment, and you have to listen carefully, I'll explain it when it happens, where the president got a particularly pained look on his face. He said, what a ridiculous question. Next question. And actually, that was a very effective response. Here's President Trump speaking about the latest on his appointee, Judge Kavanaugh.
With Senator Feinstein, and it wasn't even brought up at that meeting, and she had this information. So you would have thought certainly that she would have brought it up at the meeting, not wait till everything's finished and then have to start a process all over again. But with all of it being said, we want to go through a full process. I have great confidence in the U.S. Senate and in their procedures and what they're doing.
I think that's
probably what they're going to do. They'll go through a process and hear everybody out. I think it's important. I believe they think it's important. But again, he is one of the great intellects and one of the finest people that anybody has known. You look at his references, I've never seen anything quite like it. So they'll go through that process and we'll get it done. I don't know. It depends on the process. I'd like to see a complete process. I'd like everybody to be very happy. Most importantly, I want the American people to be happy, because they're getting somebody that is great. I want him to go in at the absolute highest level. And I think to do that, you have to go through this. If it takes a little delay, it'll take a little delay. It shouldn't certainly be very much. But again, this is something that should have been brought up long before this. They had the information in July, as I understand it. That's a long time ago, and nobody mentioned it until the other day. It's very unfortunate that they didn't mention it sooner. But with all of that being said, it will, I'm sure, work out very well. You're talking about an individual who is as high a quality individual as you'll ever see. I have not spoken to Judge Kavanaugh.
Has he offered to withdraw?
Okay.
Next question.
Okay, here's what she said, and then you'll hear what the president says. Did he offer to withdraw? And then before that, she said, are you asking him to withdraw? Here's the president's response.
Has he offered to withdraw from the process?
Next question. What a ridiculous question that is.
Do you think his passport confirmation is on track?
Oh, I think he's on track, yeah. I mean, I think he's very much on track. If they delay it a little bit just to make sure everybody's happy. They want to be happy. I can tell you, the Republican senators want to be 100% happy themselves. They're doing it very, very professionally. Again, this should have been brought up a long time ago. Thank you.
Okay, that's the president of the White House in a scrum with reporters. And seeming to be calming and substantive and indicating yet that there is a willingness to go forward, and I think they're probably in the process right now of arranging the hearings that they will have to have. Here's the fascinating question to me, which is, I think one of the reasons that Republicans generally are not protesting and saying, look, there really is nothing here even in accusations that should derail his nomination, is because they like the idea of the fight over Judge Kavanaugh to be on people's minds as they go to the polls. And particularly for some of the red state senators, yes, this is you, John Tester, this is you, Heidi Heitkamp, this is you, Joe Donnelly, this is you, Joe Manchin, this is you, Claire McCaskill, that for senators like that who are trying to defend their Senate seats, Democrats, it's the Kavanaugh issue and the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh, I think, is a strong issue for Republicans. So if this is carried over for several weeks right into the midst of the midterm election campaign, I'm not sure that helps Democrats. The letter that got this all started, and it was a letter that was submitted back in July, so we're talking about more than 2 months ago, and it was referred to the FBI. And neither the FBI nor Dianne Feinstein nor other members of the committee, because apparently Chuck Schumer saw this, a bunch of people saw it, nobody considered it crucial enough that they brought it up during Brett Kavanaugh's hearings. But it is an issue now. The letter is dated July 30th, 2018. And it says, Senator Dianne Feinstein, dear Senator Feinstein, I'm writing with information relevant in evaluating the current nominee of the Supreme Court. As a constituent, I expect that you will maintain this as confidential until we have further opportunity to speak. Brett Kavanaugh physically and sexually assaulted me during high school in the early 1980s. He conducted these acts with the assistance of Mark Judge. Both were 1 to 2 years older than me and students at a local private school. The assault occurred in a suburban Maryland area home at a gathering that included me and four others. Kavanaugh physically pushed me into a bedroom as I was headed for a bathroom up a short stairwell from the living room. They locked the door and played loud music, precluding any successful attempt to yell for help. Kavanaugh was on top of me while laughing with Mark Judge, who periodically jumped onto Kavanaugh. They both laughed as Kavanaugh tried to disrobe me in their highly inebriated state. With Kavanaugh's hand over my mouth, I feared he may inadvertently kill me. From across the room, a very drunken Mark Judge said mixed words to Kavanaugh, ranging from go for it to stop. At one point when Judge jumped onto the bed, the weight on me was substantial. The pile toppled, and the two scrapped with each other. In other words, they fell onto the floor, apparently from the bed, and then they were fighting with each other. After a few attempts to get away, I was able to take the opportune moment to run up and run across to a hallway bathroom. I locked the bathroom door behind me. Both loudly stumbled down the stairwell, at which point other persons in the house were talking with them. I exited the bathroom, ran outside of the house, and went home. I have not knowingly seen Kavanaugh since the assault. I did see Judge once where he was extremely uncomfortable seeing me. I have received medical treatment regarding the assault. On July 6th, I notified my local government representative, that was Anna Eshoo, congresswoman from Silicon Valley, to ask them how to proceed with sharing this information. It is upsetting to discuss sexual assault and its repercussions, yet I felt guilty and compelled as a citizen about the idea of not saying anything. I am available to speak further should you wish to discuss. I am currently blank, redacted, and will be in redacted. In confidence, signed Christine Blasey Ford. That's the letter. What's striking to me is the Washington Post acknowledges they asked her to try to identify where, what part of suburban Maryland this occurred in, what year it occurred in, and she's not sure of any of it. And it turns out that this came up for her because in 2012, 6 years ago, she was going through couples therapy with her husband, who's also a PhD, by the way, in mechanical engineering. She's going through couples therapy with her husband, and this came out regarding a problem that they were having in their sex life. And she brought up this fact for the first time of this assault. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, I just spoke on the Senate floor, and he raised many questions about the current state of play, as people would have it, about Judge Kavanaugh. And one of the questions he raised was, given the fact that this letter was transmitted so long ago, to at the very beginning of July, to the Democratic Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, why did they not, in closed session, where it's private, confront Judge Kavanaugh with that question? That would have been the right thing to do. Is this simply political gamesmanship on the part of the Democrats? It's a serious matter. A very serious matter. Rockstar Greg Tomlin had a good thought, which is that he suspects that the Democrats are deliberately playing this, and actually playing it very effectively. That they deliberately withheld and timed this information so that it would come out little bit by little bit. Initially, there was no face. There was no woman. Now we all know what she looks like. We've seen her pictures. Then she's going to come out in public and speak on TV, and we're going to see her at a hearing. So all of this has come out. He also suspects they may have a second woman who has some kind of accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. Personally, I want to express my opinion. I don't think that's true. I think that if there were a second woman or another woman, anyone else with accusation, it would have come out by now. Because he's been around the block a lot. He's been an appellate court judge for 12 years. And certainly, I don't think there's any question. Right now, a lot of the questions that we're dealing with have to do with the credibility of these two parties, because it's a he said, she said. Judge Kavanaugh's emphatically denied it. If it turns out there are other charges against him, that will undermine his credibility. If it also turns out that Christina Blasey Ford has made other charges against other males, particularly other public figures, then I think that would greatly undermine her credibility. The attorney for Christine Blasey Ford, the accuser against Judge Kavanaugh, is named Deborah Katz, and she was on CBS News, and she was asked, it seems to me, the most important question about this entire matter and the whole accusation.
Why does your client believe that Judge Kavanaugh's alleged behavior in high school disqualifies him from becoming a Supreme Court justice?
She hasn't taken that position. She came forward to tell her representatives about a very traumatic event that occurred to her that the nominee committed. She believes it bears on his character, but she has not taken a position that he should not be confirmed.
Okay, that's got to be the first question she gets. Do you believe that Brett Kavanaugh should be confirmed? She'll say, I haven't taken a position. I don't want to take a position. Do you believe that he should be disqualified? And then if you don't believe that he is disqualified, what are you doing? Why is this suddenly relevant when he's nominated for the Supreme Court? She was also asked and it's a very potent question, and good for CBS for putting the question.
Did she tell anyone about what happened, though, at the time of the incident?
She did not. And like many trauma victims, especially young trauma victims, they try to put it away and try to go forward with their lives and really try in their own heads to minimize it. Unfortunately, this issue continued to come up and be extremely problematic in her adult life, affecting her relationship with her husband. And that's the context in which this came up, which was in couples therapy, where she disclosed this very traumatic event that she had tried for decades to try to minimize in her own life. But it was an event that was so traumatizing, she continued to have the anxiety and the aftermath effect that really have defined her life in a significant way.
Doesn't that seem sad? She has two children who look lovely in the pictures. She has a long-term marriage. And this horrible incident, which may or may not have happened, defines her life in a significant way. Really? It does give you thought, and certainly anyone in high school who's listening, be careful out there in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Your freedom is under attack, but if you act now, you can protect not only your family, but generations to come. Go to townhallreview.com, and to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's townhall.com. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.